Okay, good afternoon. It is approximately 1:33 p.m., Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. This is a Public Service Commission meeting in the PSC hearing room on the 12th floor of the State Capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota. The purpose of this meeting is to conduct a public hearing on proposed changes to the Commission's administrative rules. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. With me today is Commissioner Julie Fedorchek. Did you have any opening comments?
I do not have opening comments.
Okay, nor do I. The rules case being heard today is case number AD-17-49. There are really four kind of separate proposed revisions. And they affect, first, individual customer notice and utility rate-related cases, i.e. bill stuffers, and that is North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-04-01. Second revision affects appearances at formal hearings. That's North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-04-02. The third revision is regarding filing proposed rules with the Legislative Council and the comment period for proposed procedural rules. That's Administrative Code Section 69-02-07-02. And the fourth revision is regarding changes to the procedure for protecting certain information filed by telecommunications. That is North Dakota Administrative Code Chapter 69-02-09. The Commission has scheduled this public hearing to allow everyone the opportunity to submit information or comments concerning the adoption of proposed changes to the North Dakota Administrative Code. All comments received at this public hearing will be considered by the Commission, together with all other written comments received. Written comments may be submitted until the close of business on April 17th, 2017. The Public Service Commission will consider all the comments received and address the comments in the written decision. Anyone may request a copy of the decision, and it will be provided via email or regular mail. The decision and all other filings in this case will also be available on the Commission's website, which is www.psc.nd.gov. This hearing is being broadcast over the internet and is also being electronically recorded. We ask anyone who would like to comment to take the witness chair and speak into the microphone so that the broadcast and recording will be of good quality. When the red light over to my right here is on, the broadcast is live. Everyone will be given the opportunity to speak. Please identify yourself for the record before you speak and speak slowly and clearly. If you have a prepared statement, a written copy of your statement is appreciated and will be helpful. There is a sheet on the table to the far side of the room to my right for sign up. And if anyone is going to testify, please sign that sheet. I'll now open the hearing for comments. Does anyone wish to testify on case number AD-17-49 concerning the proposed rules?
I'm Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco. I'm General Counsel with the Public Service Commission. As Commissioner Christman just mentioned, the rules affect four topics. I have some short testimony on the first three, and the fourth one, the protection of information filed by telephone companies, will be discussed by Patrick Fawn. So I'm going to speak about the first two together, the rate case bill stuffers, which is Section 69-02-04-01, and appearances at formal hearings, which is Section 69-02-04-02. The existing bill stuffer rule lists several cases in which an applicant utility must provide individual notice of the application to customers. The proposed change adds one additional type of case, an advanced determination of prudence case, to this list. Advanced determination of prudence cases have rate-making consequences and therefore should require individual customer notice. Current practice is to require and provide individual customer notices in these types of cases due to those rate-making consequences. So the rule change should have no impact on industry customers, the public, or stakeholders. We're just making the rule conform to what we're doing. The existing rule on appearances requires that staff analysts who work on the case be noted in appearances. At hearings, counsel introduces the staff working on the case, but the rule requiring these staff members be listed has been inconsistently followed and serves no discernible purpose. In addition, it could imply that the staff analysts are engaging in the unauthorized practice of law. Repealing the language would have no impact on any stakeholder. The two changes that I've just discussed were previously proposed and adopted by the Commission in case number AD-14-762, but due to an inadvertent error, were never approved by the Attorney General and were never filed with the Legislative Council. Now, my copy of the testimony says that a copy of the previous testimony is attached, but it is not attached because I thought it wasn't helpful when I read it. So I would like to delete that sentence from the printed testimony. But there have been no other comments or testimony except for what was received in that case, which is not in this record, and what I'm presenting today. Now, the next two changes, which is are lumped together because they're in the same section, the third change I'll be discussing deals with filing rules with the Legislative Council and the post-hearing comment period for proposed procedural rules. And this is North Dakota Administrative Code, Section 6902.0702, subsections 3 and 4. The change is proposed to eliminate an outdated requirement to file proposed rules and rules notices with the Legislative Council at least 30 days before the hearing. I believe that that used to be the requirement. It is no longer a requirement. It's a requirement to file, but the 30 days is not in statute. So current law requires filing but does not impose a time requirement on the filing. The second change is to reduce the post-hearing comment period from 30 days to 10 days. And this is we have a 30-day comment period in our rules for procedural proposed rules. The statute has a 10-day comment period in it, and we want to make our rules consistent with the 10 days. Both changes would result in making the Commission's rulemaking procedure consistent with the procedure specified in the code. Neither change should have any impact on any stakeholder. And this completes my comments.
I just want to go back to the second one.
The appearances?
The Commission staff and the appearances. And so just to reiterate and make sure that I'm clear on it, the legal counsel would be listed as an appearance, and then that counsel would name the staff people who are going to be testifying or participating in the process.
That's correct. Okay. And that would be on the record, whether it's recorded or whether it's done in a printed transcript. Those names would appear on the record.
And when we, as we currently do because of this rule, listed as appearances, it could, because of the art of the definition of appearances in this regard, that could lead someone to believe that those are attorneys.
That's correct.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
I don't either.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead and begin whenever you're ready.
My name is Patrick Fawn. I am the director of the Public Utilities Division of the Public Service Commission. The purpose of my testimony is to describe the proposed administrative rule changes to North Dakota Administrative Code Chapter 69-02-09 pertaining to procedures for protecting information from disclosure. Current rules prescribe protection. I'm using the word prescribe, and I'll use that throughout here. But current rules prescribe protection for certain information filed by telecommunications companies in the annual report to the commission required under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-09-05-12.1. Information protected without the need for the originator to file an application for trade secret protection, without the need for staff analysis, and without further action by the commission, includes detailed information concerning telecommunications infrastructure projects and detailed information regarding service outages. This proposed rule change today extends prescribed protection to those two information types contained in any filing with the commission, not just the annual reporting, and expands the prescribed protection to disaggregated data on provisioned volumes of local services by service type and local exchange, disaggregated data on provisioned volumes and associated revenue of switched access traffic by jurisdiction or local exchange, and any financial information that is protected by a Federal Communications Commission protective order. Today, the Commission receives 80 or more filings each year that contain some or all of these information types. The proposed rule regarding information that both the industry and the Commission have found should be protected, and removing the requirement to file an application, the requirement for staff analysis, and the requirement for a Commission decision each time these types of information are filed. So removing these requirements will result in a more efficient administrative process and will save resources for both the regulated community and the agency. This concludes my testimony. Thank you.
To be clear, the filings that we're talking about, in order to protect that information, when they make the filing, the parts that shouldn't do not necessarily require protection, that would still be open. And so they would file a redacted version with everything else, but these things that qualify for protection would be filed on a separate form that's marked as confidential. And if someone were to challenge some part of that, the process in here that is, Section 69-02-09-05(2) that lays out how someone can challenge this and seek opening it up is still available. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I have no other questions. Thank you.
Patrick, one question for me. Where do we come up with this list of things that should be protected? Can you explain that again or refresh my memory on that?
Sure. Of course, currently the stuff that we protect that is filed with the annual report is in our rule, currently in our rules.
Okay.
And then we consulted, we've been receiving other reports by the companies that are required by the Federal Communications Commission. The Federal Communications requires that they also be filed with the state. And some of those filings have the same types of information, plus a few other types of information that the industry would like to see protected, and we also believe should be protected as commission staff. And those, what we did was we consulted with the industry to find out, before we came up with this rulemaking, we consulted with the industry and asked them which types of information they thought should be protected, and we concurred with that.
Okay, and so we're pretty sure this is a comprehensive list and we're not missing anything.
I couldn't be absolutely sure of that. I mean, there could be something that would come up in a future FCC rulemaking, but for sure, we know for sure that these are the types
things
that they
right now
would like protected today.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
I did think of one thing that I just want to get on the record. These 80-plus filings that occur, does it seem like there's inconsistency that some companies you know, request that it, something be confidential in one and then maybe don't do it in the next report. And because of that annual report that is where this happens in a simpler fashion, that, you know, maybe there's some misunderstandings from the carriers as to what actually is protected and what isn't in the current system.
There is confusion by the industry, and there were even initially by the staff here at the commission. But the when we adopted the rule to protect information filed in the annual report, they were filing the same types of information in other reports, in other FCC reports, and they thought that maybe that was all automatically protected. So some would file application for trade secret, and some others didn't.
So
there was a mix.
So this should both clarify and simplify.
Yes.
Thank you.
So for these 80 different filings, we're no longer going to have to go through the process of protecting it?
We still protect the information when it's filed. It's a little bit less administrative process involved. They file the information that they want protected in a separate envelope. It's marked trade secret. They don't have to make a specific request for trade secret.
Okay.
And the staff doesn't have to analyze it each time. We're just saying, if you file this type of information, it's protected when it gets here.
Okay.
And follow the rules about how it should be filed.
So is it accurate? Is it about 80 per year fewer that we'll have to do trade secret protection on?
You know, it's approximately.
Wow.
I mean, there are 40 incumbent companies, approximately 40, and each of them makes an annual report filing with the commission, and each of them makes the FCC. It's called Form 481, which mm-hmm. provides very similar information, but some other additional information. But so you have 80 right there. And there are a couple other FCC forms as well that are filed that some believe should the information should be protected. So we probably get at least 80, maybe close to 100.
Mm. Okay.
I don't have any other questions.
I don't either.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick. Does anyone else wish to testify? Mr. Nitschke? Okay, just checking. I will now close the hearing on case number AD-17-49. All of the comments provided in writing through the close of business April 17, 2017 will be considered and discussed in our decision. Also, any changes made to the proposed rules due to the Commission's review of comments received or the Commission discussion will be explained in the written decision. The record will remain open until April 17th, 2017. The hearing is closed.